Just before we start today, are you a teacher? Most listeners aren't, because we aim this show at students. But if you are an educator of some form, I just wanted to let you know that I'm co-authoring a special series this month on effective studying with this week's podcast guest, Peps McRae, for his famous ultra-concise, ultra-high-value Evidence Snacks email newsletter. In the three-part series we've put together, I'm sharing some of my all-time favourite tips and tricks that I've learned over the years to help embed smarter study strategies in your school, helping students study smarter, not harder, going beyond the research recommendations to figure out exactly what we need to be telling students to help them put good ideas into practice. In the email series, I'm even giving away some of my teaching resources so you can pick up some ready-to-teach lessons so you can deliver these ideas directly into your school. So you get slides, a little video, and even a workbook for your learners. Follow the link in the episode description to catch up on any emails in the series that you might have missed so far, and then sign up to Peps's Evidence Snacks email list to get the rest of the series delivered directly to your inbox. For everyone else listening, all my non-teacher friends studying hard for their exams at school, university and more, I just wanted to say, especially if your exams are coming up soon over the next few weeks, hang in there, my friends, keep going, you've got this. And now, here's today's episode.
Welcome to the Exam Study Expert Podcast, helping you ace your exams at school and university through the psychology of high performance and the science of studying smarter, not harder. It's my pleasure to introduce your host, the Cambridge-trained memory psychologist and exam success coach, William Wadsworth!
Hello and welcome to the Exam Study Experts podcast. One of the most popular emails I sent out to my email subscribers recently was about some slightly new ways of thinking about lists that I'd been enjoying recently. Today, I wanted to take those ideas, expand on them, and create a podcast about the magic of lists for you. Lists are such a simple concept, but they're also so powerful. As productivity author David Allen famously wrote, the brain is for having ideas, not for holding them. And if I needed to hold onto all the lists in my head, I'd never be able to get anything done because my mind would constantly be spinning with all the things I need to do today, tomorrow, which order to do them in, and then also nagging me about longer term plans and dreams that I might not get to for weeks, months, or even years. By listing those things out, getting them out of my head, I'm able to, frankly, claw back a little bit of my sanity and manage to get through the list and start working through it in a productive and in control way. So that leads me to the first concept on the list of lists, list of six lists I've got for you today, the to-do list. Towards the end, as we progress through the episode, I'll be sharing some other takes and different ways you can use lists to serve slightly different purposes in your life, all with the general theme of helping you stay in control, get more done. I think you'll really enjoy this. I think there's some good ideas coming up today. Sit back and enjoy. So item number one, as I say, is the to-do list. The time-honoured to-do list has a central role in the personal management systems of any high achiever. And I'm sure many of you use to-do lists. There are lots of different ways to set out your to-do list, and I have played with probably dozens of variants over the years, digital systems, doing it on paper, doing it on whiteboards, you know, different way formats, different ways of setting it out. And I think different things can work for different people. So what I'm going to talk you through is the way I set out my to-do list at the moment. It's not the best way or the only way to do it, but it's quite interesting because I think this is the longest I've stuck with a single variant of a way to manage my to-do list. I'm not sort of flitting around between different options quite so much at the moment. So I seem to be settling on this one as being the right option for me at this point in my life with the way I need to organise my time. So I think there might be something in this approach. I think it might be quite a good one, at least for me. So let me talk you through what I do. Maybe it'll spark some ideas for you. I need to use three levels. So I have a long-term list, I have a mid-term list, and I have a super short-term, basically like today list, or maybe even just like this morning. So the long-term list includes everything I want to do or might want to do for years into the future. It includes my ideas for future blog and podcast episodes, future books and courses, ideas for ventures, research projects that I might not get round to for years, if ever. Some people call this their someday maybe list. It's a list of all the things you might get round to someday, maybe, or maybe not. This list for me also includes things I will definitely do. So kind of my long-term list will also include things that are not someday maybe, like I will definitely do them. It's just that I won't yet. Maybe there's like a specific date attached to them. So I can only, apply for a certain thing when applications open, for example. I use a tool called Asana to manage my long-term list and keep it all organized. It's a free tool, and it's just a really nice way to manage a lot of different kind of items and organize them and group them and tag them and be able to sort of cross them off as you get to them. That's kind of my long-term list. That's a really important thing that I probably update. I'll sort of add to it as new ideas occur. If I have a good idea, I'll go into Asana and kind of add it to my long-term list in the right place. And I might sort of check in on it maybe every few weeks and just sort of have a look and see what's there and keep it up to date. If I manage to get anything done off my long-term list, and update the list accordingly. So that's really good for kind of keep my kind of repository of longer term thinking. But then most of the work gets done in my midterm list. So that's the things I'll be doing over the next few weeks. And typically I'll make a new one of these each month or thereabouts. So I did experiment with Asana for this for a while, but I didn't find it flexible enough in layout to work well for the kind of midterm task. It just didn't quite work for me for the tasks I'm working on, this week or next. It just wasn't kind of laid out right. It didn't quite click for me in Asana. And I also did my kind of midterm lists on paper, but that just meant it got too scrappy as I edited it and changed it and tried to move the order around. Now, I found I'd be writing out, there'd be some tasks that would get written out maybe like 6-7 times across different iterations of my paper to-do list, priorities for the next few days. Just because, I wouldn't get to them on a certain week and so they'd roll over to the next week. And so I'd just keep sort of writing them out at the bottom of my list. The paper version wasn't quite working so well either because I'd, it wasn't quite flexible enough. So what I do now for my midterm list, so things I'm working on over the next few weeks, is I put it in Excel. Excel is a tool I'm very at home with. It's one I use a lot. I've used a lot in the past for different things. And I'll typically, as I say, start a new Excel document for each month. And then I'll kind of have my task listed out, typically grouped into kind of 3 or 4 big sections. So I'll have a section for what I'm working on today, today's priorities. I might have another one for what I want to do tomorrow. Then I might have another section for other priorities later this week. And then a final one for other priorities for this month. Sometimes this midterm task list in Excel gives kind of all the clarity and focus I need. I just look at the list of things I want to do today. But sometimes I also find it quite helpful. I think often, actually, I find it quite helpful to get the task list out of like a digital depository and kind of into the real world in some sense. So I'll often write out my tasks, not even necessarily for the whole day. I might just take the tasks I want to do this morning or like the first 3 things I want to tackle. And I'll write those out in my notebook or on a mini whiteboard so I can kind of keep an eye on them. They're there in the real world. I know like my brain stops nagging me about them a little bit more, I think, when it's just there and I can see it on my desk. And then I can have that satisfaction of kind of crossing them off as I go. One thing I find really helpful for me is putting my to-do lists in order for each day. So having them in the order I plan to tackle them. That's partly why I find Excel quite helpful. It's so easy to just sort of drag tasks around and change the order or shuffle today's priorities to tomorrow or next week or vice versa as priorities evolve and things get more or less important. I really struggle to handle I really struggle to handle a jumbled list of to-dos where I'm supposed to start with the 7th item on the list and then go to the 2nd and then do the 5th. I really like a list where the first item is the first thing I do, the second item is the second thing I do, the third item is the third thing I do. Like, it sounds like such a small thing, but I really do find that having that order just helps me move through the list with much more focus and ease. It kind of removes that tiny little moment of friction going hunting for the next thing I'm supposed to do. Like, it's just there, it's the next thing down. I just move on and I do it. No decision needed. It's all laid out in front of me. Okay, so we've done the big one, the to-do list system I'm favouring at the moment. So with the long-term, the mid-term and the short-term elements. All other entries on this in this episode are quite a bit shorter and have more specific and targeted functions. So kind of different ways of thinking about lists. The second one I wanted to get to is a browser tab to-do list. So this is quite a close cousin, I guess, of the to-do list. But I find this one really handy. If, like me, you sometimes end up with kind of tasks that are almost like in your browser. So a good example of this is when I'm dealing with my inbox. Let's say there are 10 different messages I need to respond to this morning. What I'll often do is create 10 separate browser tabs, each of which has a message open in it. So one tab for each of the 10 messages. Then I'll drag the tabs around and cluster them by type and order them, put them in the order I want to tackle them. So maybe there are a couple of like really simple calendar admin type emails to do. I might drag those messages to the far left of my tab list. Maybe there are a set of three messages that I need to process by like adding tasks or deadlines to my everything list or calendar. So I'll put those in the middle and I'll put those together. Maybe there's a couple that have sort of a financial element. Maybe it's like a request for payment and this is like a bill I need to pay or something. So I might put those two messages together. And then maybe there's one message that's going to require quite a thought out and considered response. I'll put that last, perhaps, on the far right hand side. So I've got all my 10 tabs, each message in a tab, ordered left to right in order of in the order I want to tackle those 10 tasks. So I'll start with the far left-hand one, work through in order until I've got through them all. And again, as I mentioned earlier, I find I can flow through a task list much faster and more easily if I can see it in order. It just saves those little moments of friction deciding which one I'm going to do next. It's all laid out in order, all laid out in advance. And plus, you enjoy those little time savings from doing similar messages together, that idea of batching. For example, for the messages that require a financial component, like I need to make a payment, if I do those three messages together, I'll already have my bank stuff out, I might have my card out or whatever, and I can just do those all together. I don't kind of have to keep finding my bank details or my bank card or whatever. Or for messages that require checking my calendar, like I already have my calendar open and I can just power through the messages that involve doing stuff on my calendar all together, all in a block. Email's quite a good example of this, but you may find there are other things. You might have other tasks that sort of sit in a browser. You know, it's the same idea. You know, can you use one tab to represent one task that you do in one browser tab, and then group your tabs in by type and then put them in order of the order you want to tackle them. So your browser tabs almost form like this kind of little mini to-do list. Item number three on the list is the stop list. It's a really short little one, but it's a powerful one. So feeling overwhelmed, try creating a stop list. The stop list is a simple list of all the things you could stop doing, even temporarily. Ongoing commitments that you could pause, one-off tasks that you could push back to later, maybe opportunities you choose to pass up entirely. And I'd suggest doing this in two steps. So firstly, create a list of all the things you could stop, possibly. Even if it makes you feel uncomfortable, write it down on the list. And then you can start to take a look through it and decide which ones, maybe actually at the moment, that is something you are going to go ahead and either stop completely or at least pause on for the moment. So you'd brainstorm your list of possibilities. What could you stop? And then you make some decisions from that list of possibilities. What are you going to stop or at least pause on for the moment to avoid you being completely overworked and overwhelmed and just give you a little bit of breathing space. Item number four is checklists. So a checklist provides a safety net, a guarantee that you don't miss steps in a process that you repeat, especially when the consequences for missing steps could be severe, and doubly so when the chances of you missing steps goes up because you're under time pressure or mental stress. So if you have an exam the following day, make a checklist of all the things you need for your exam. Stationery, calculator, water bottle, ID card, whatever. I talk about this in Outsmart Your Exams, my exam technique book. And then you physically tick these things off as you leave home. This isn't just for people who feel they are forgetful. It's for everyone. It's about taking that small risk of leaving something important behind and taking that risk down to as close to zero as you possibly can. In the exam itself, you might have checklists for approaching certain questions. You might kind of physically write out a multi-point checklist for some questions to make sure you've done all the things that you're required to do for that type of question. So in physics, for example, you might say check off that you've used all the values that are provided in the question. You've double-checked the substitutions into the formula. You've double-checked that you stated the unit correctly. You just have a little, literally write out a little checklist and then tick those things off once you've double-checked that they're all in place in the answer as they should be. I often find that I forget something when I travel. I don't know about you. So I keep perennial checklists on my phone. It's the same list of things I need for certain types of travel. So I just keep one list on my phone for each type of travel. And then, you know, before I leave the house, I double check what I've got with me against the relevant list. So for example, if I'm traveling overnight ahead of a speaking engagement at a school or a conference, I'll double check that I've got my suit, laptop, black shoes, presentation clicker, and so on. I used to find that I'd always forget something. I remember times I'd be, you know, running out first thing in the morning to buy deodorant or going to bed in my day clothes because I'd forgot my pajamas. But with a checklist to run through, these things stop being an issue. And I always make sure I've got everything I need. In at number five is the concept of green versus red lists. So this concept was one of the two types of lists I wrote about in that email I mentioned that inspired this episode. And by the way, just before I do this tip, if you would enjoy getting interesting tips and advice from me by email from time to time, and you're not already on my email list, do head over to examstudyexperts.com/join to sign up today, and I'll send you interesting tips and study advice by email. It's a nice way to complement what I share on the podcast. So green and red lists. This one's perfect if you're having a tricky time at the moment. Okay, so you know, we all go through difficult patches, some of us, you know, more than others, and if you're having a difficult patch, be it because of physical health issues or mental health issues, this idea of the green and red lists can be a really supportive concept. So the idea is that you separate your to-do list into green items and red items. So green items, easy, friendly, doable, could be things like admin, filing. Yeah, so like things that you can do, even you might feel you can do even on a difficult day. And this isn't to say, you know, like these examples, you know, that might not be those might not be things you feel like you can do even on a difficult day, depending on the severity of what you're going through at the time. But I'm just trying to illustrate the concept. And so you have your green items, the things that you feel are doable even on a really bad day for you at the moment, and then you've got the red things. There's anything that's a little bit more daunting. And if you're not currently feeling strong enough to face the reds, that's okay. Work through the green items until a day comes along when you feel strong enough to try a red. There's a related idea to this as well. Some people keep a list of things that they could do when they're procrastinating. So if you find yourself procrastinating a lot, I've come across the concept of people having like a procrastination to-do list. So if you can't face getting down and doing whatever work you should be doing, you look at your procrastination to-do list and like you do at least something that's a bit productive off your procrastination to-do list. It's a bit of an interesting concept, that one, but I thought I'd just mention it as a slight variant on the green and red list. It's sort of a slightly similar idea in some ways. And then finally, in at number six is one that I've been really enjoying recently. So it's the mental resistance list. I heard about this one from past podcast guest, productivity guru Chris Bailey. And as soon as I read about it, I just read about it and was like, oh my gosh, that is such a good idea. I want to do this right away. So with a mental resistance list, you start by writing down a list of all the things you're feeling mental resistance to doing. What are the things you keep putting off, you just don't really want to do, you're feeling that, you know what I mean, you're feeling that resistance to doing that task. The chances are these are some of the most important and impactful things that you could be doing right now. And when you can, and I would suggest challenging yourself to make this as happen on as many days as possible, you start the day by crossing off, or at least making some progress on, one or more items from your mental resistance list. maybe you have a goal of, you know, an hour today or half an hour before you do anything else, tackle something from your mental resistance list to push it forward before getting on with everything else that day. It's a bit like the eat the frog tactic that was popularized by Brian Tracy, who's also been on the podcast before, very well known, again, a very well known sort of productivity writer. The eat the frog tactic is the one where you start the day by doing your hardest or most off-putting task. That's your frog in the metaphor, and you start the day by eating this frog. But I quite like Chris's version because for me, it's just a little bit more practical and works a little bit better with the sort of task load I have. Like, it's rare that I just have like one task that I can just tackle right there and then, and that's my big aversive task that day. It's more often that I have a whole list of things that I'm putting off and feeling a bit of resistance towards. I can't do them all today. Like, I probably, even if I had a week, I wouldn't be able to get through all the things on my mental resistance list. So, you know, I like being able to list it out and then maybe just tackle one of those items or maybe even just part of one of those items, make some progress on it before I get on with the rest of my day. So, I hope you have enjoyed this little adventure into the world of lists today, and maybe you have one or two new ideas you'd like to try out this week, whether that's a new way of organizing your to-do lists, maybe trying out the browser tab to-do list concept, perhaps creating a stop list so you can perhaps choose a few things to deprioritize for the moment, particularly if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed. And this podcast is going out in November, always seems to be a busy time of year for so many of us. Checklists as a way to help prevent you forgetting important things, particularly when you know you're under a little bit of pressure. The idea of the green and red lists as a way to help keep you moving, even when you've got when you're kind of working through a tough time physically or mentally in terms of your health. And then finally, the mental resistance list. What are those things that you keep putting off? List them all out and make it a stated goal to try and tackle one of them, or at least make some progress on one of them before you do anything else each day. Thank you so much, as always, for joining me today. I've really enjoyed having your company, as always, today, and I just wanted to wish you every success in your studies.
If you've got exams coming up, you can now get all of William's favourite tips and tricks to save you time and get you higher grades, all in one handy cheat sheet. Grab your copy at examstudyexpert.com/freetips. Thanks again for listening, and see you soon.